Hello everybody, I'm back with another video, and today I want to talk about the subject of salvation. Now, I haven't made a video in a few weeks, and I've been planning on making this video for a while, but I just haven't gotten around to making it. But I made a few videos talking about concepts that a lot of Christians, or so-called Christians, don't understand. And, for example, I made the video called Replacement Theology for Dummies, and the Rapture for Dummies or something like that, because there's a lot of misconceptions about those doctrines and a lot of lies and false doctrines about those doctrines. And so I address those things and discuss what the Bible actually says about it. And today I'm going to do a video discussing what the Bible says about salvation. Now, when you hear that, you might think that this is going to be about how to be saved. And I'm not really going to focus too much on that today. Now, in order to be saved, all we have to do is just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We just have to trust Him alone as our Savior, and once we believe, we have eternal life, and there's nothing we can do to lose it. So, that's how you get saved, but today I want to talk about what salvation is itself. You know, what is salvation? Not how to be saved. We have to believe in order to be saved. That's it. No other requirement, just faith alone in Jesus. But I want to talk about what salvation is, and answer a few very important questions, such as, why do we need salvation in the first place? You know, what's our problem? What is, why do we need to be saved? And then the second question would be, like, what is salvation? You know, what are we being saved from? How does God save us? What is the result of our salvation? Things like that. That's what I want to talk about in this video today. And I have this whiteboard to just help me, or to just help you understand, just to kind of put a chart on here that hopefully will break it down and make it make sense. So anyway, the reason why I'm making this video is to address a lot of heresies out there, because I feel like people who don't understand why we're or how we're saved, they don't understand that it's just by faith alone. One of the reasons why is because they don't know what the word salvation means itself. Like people who say that you have to repent of your sins or obey the commandments or live a holy life in order to be saved, they obviously don't understand what salvation is. People who say that you can lose your salvation don't understand what salvation is. Because when you hear people say you can lose your salvation, that doesn't make any sense, because all salvation is, or what that word means, is to be delivered from something, to be rescued from something. See, salvation is not an object. It's not something we have in the sense of it's something that, like, is tangible or something like that. It's not something that we own in that sense. It's something that already happened. Okay, salvation is a noun. It's referring to an event when we were delivered from these things I'm going to talk about in this video today. Mainly delivered from our sins, delivered from God's wrath, and from punishment in hell. Now, if you are saved, if you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the event of salvation has already taken place. God has already saved you. So to say you can lose your salvation just shows that they're ignorant of what the word salvation even means. It means to be delivered. If you have been delivered, it doesn't make any sense to say you can lose your deliverance when it's an event that has already taken place. Now, let me explain in this video. Like I said, hopefully this chart, hopefully this whiteboard that I'm going to use here will help break it down and make it a lot simpler. So, without any further ado, let's start here. And the first thing I want to talk about is, what is our problem, or why do we need to be saved in the first place? So, bear with me a little bit, because I have to write backwards on here in order for you to be able to read it. So, first of all, what is our problem? You know, why do we need to be saved? So the first thing is that we have all sinned, and God is angry with us. We are under God's wrath because of our sin. Now I'm going to get to a few verses in a little bit, but I just want to write this down, and then I'll read what the Bible says about that. So the first problem and the first thing we should point out about why we need to be saved, why we need salvation in the first place, is that we have all sinned. We have all sinned. And because we have all sinned, we are under God's wrath. So the first verse I want to read is a very well-known verse. It's Romans 3:23. I'm sure a lot of the people who are watching this might be familiar with most of the stuff in this video. This is mainly for people who maybe know that they're saved because they've trusted Jesus Christ, but don't understand all the aspects of what salvation is. Or also for those people out there who aren't saved and who aren't sure what we mean when we talk about being saved and salvation. So that's mainly who this video is for. But the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So what is sin? Sin is defined in the Bible as the transgression of the law. So God has given commandments within the scriptures, within the Word of God, and any time we break those or transgress those commandments, that is sin. And the Bible's telling us right here that all have sinned. Everybody has broken God's commandments. It says also in Romans 3:10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." It says, "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they're together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." So sometimes we think of ourselves as good or righteous, but the Bible says that nobody's righteous, nobody's good, nobody does good. We're all sinners. We've all broken God's law. We're all guilty. It says in Ecclesiastes 7:20 that there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So the fact of the matter is that everybody who is alive right now, everybody who's ever lived, with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ who walked on this earth among us, but everybody else besides the Lord Jesus Christ who has ever lived and breathed on this earth has committed sin, has broken God's commandments. And because they have all sinned, because we have all sinned, God is angry with us. So the Bible says in the book of Psalms, Psalm 7 and verse 11. Psalm 7 and verse 11. It says, "God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day." So the Bible tells us that those who are wicked, which is another word for being sinful, for being evil, the Bible says God is angry at those who are wicked. And there's other verses in the Bible which I'll read a little bit later in this video as I go through the progression of events. But there's other videos or other verses in the Bible that talk about how we were the enemies of God, and before we're reconciled back to Him, we were God's enemies. God was angry at us. We are under God's wrath, etc. In fact, the Bible tells us that if we don't get saved, if we don't believe in Jesus Christ, in John 3:36, it says, "The wrath of God abideth on him of those who don't believe." So the word "abide" means continue upon. So those who do not believe on Jesus Christ and therefore don't get saved, God's wrath remains on them, implying that it was on them before, because we're sinners. God's wrath is upon us because we have sinned. So the next point is that we all have a sin nature and will continue to sin. So you might think, well, if we've all sinned, why don't we just stop sinning? And that's unfortunately what some false prophets teach, that that's what you have to do to be saved. But the Bible also teaches that we have a sin nature and therefore will continue to sin, and that we can't just turn from all our sins, escape from our sins. That's not going to work. The Bible teaches that we all have a sin nature, and that because of just the very fact that we live in this flesh and blood, we will always break God's commandments, even after realizing that we've broken His commandments, even after realizing what the Bible says. There's no way to escape from that through our flesh and blood. So we all have a sin nature. Let me write that down. So here we got, we've all sinned under God's wrath, and we all have a sin nature. So the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, now pay attention. It says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." This is verse 6, and then verse 7 is the key here. It says, "Because the carnal mind," now the word "carnal" means fleshly. If you think about the word "carne" in Spanish, it means meat. So the word "carnal" is referring to our flesh. It's saying just the natural mind, the fleshly mind, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So the Bible says flat out that our minds, just in the flesh, it's not subject to the law of God, And it's not just that it isn't, it can't be, it's impossible. So that is why we sin in the first place. We have a sin nature. See, the Bible says in Romans 5, verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And I will touch on that a little bit more in a moment, but right now I want to focus on the fact that it says, "As by one man sin entered into the world." The reason why everybody sins is because everybody is descended from the same person, and that's Adam, the first man who had sinned in the Garden of Eden. When he first sinned, he brought sin into the world and death by sin. And so the reason why all have sinned is because of him, because he brought sin into the world. So we all, because we all have the same nature, we all have the same flesh and blood, we cannot be subject to the law of God. It's impossible. So, as mentioned here, also in Romans 5:12, one thing that's also a problem, and this is the finale here, I want to focus on three different things. Three problems that we have, three things that God saves us from, three ways that God saves us, and then the results of salvation. Okay, so those are the things I want to talk about. But the last thing I want to point out in this first column here is that we are all dead in our sins. So because we are sinners, and we will always be sinners, we are dead in our sins. Don't know why I'm having trouble writing this. You're dead in our sins, and this is the key, on our way to hell. So let me put a little divider here because it looks like it's the same. So there's point number three. We are dead in our sins and on our way to hell. Now, sorry, it looks kind of bad in the writing. Remember, I have to write backwards in order for you to read this. So anyway, so as it says in Romans 5:12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So if you want to know why everybody dies, it's because everybody has sin. As we pointed out in the first point right here, everybody's a sinner. Everybody will continue to sin. We all have a sin nature, and everybody is dead in their sins. Because the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." So everybody is dead in their sins. Now, when I say dead in our sins right now, what I mean by that is that it's not just that we physically die later and that our soul goes to hell later, but it's also that in the sight of God, our soul is already dead. Because it says in Romans chapter 7, in verse 9, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it slew me." So Paul was still physically alive when he was writing this, of course. Okay, even before he got saved, obviously he wasn't physically dead. So he's saying, "In my past, I was alive without the law once." That's before he had sinned. "But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." And he says that sin deceived him and by it slew me. So we are already dead in our sins. Our soul is already dead. And because our soul is dead, once our body dies, once our body perishes, our soul goes to the place of the dead, which is hell. Now it talks about this in Revelation chapter 21, where it says, verse 13, or actually, chapter 20, verse 13, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." Now I want to focus on the fact that it says, death and hell delivered up the dead which are in them. So these people in this place called death and hell are described as dead. So those who are dead go to this place called hell. And then it says in Revelation 21, verse 8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now again, it lists all these different sins, and some of these sins, including like lying, for example, are sins that are committed by everybody. So it doesn't matter how big or small the sin, since everybody's a sinner, everybody faces the consequence of death and hell. That is what we deserve for our sins. The wages of sin is death. So, we have all sinned. We all have a sin nature, so we can't just stop sinning. That's not going to work. Okay, our carnal mind cannot submit unto the law of God. And because we have sinned and are under God's wrath, we are dead in our sins, and when our body dies, our soul would go to hell. So that's the problem. This is why we need to be saved in the first place. Because if we are not saved, then we are continue to be under God's wrath. There's no way to be redeemed from our sins, and we will go to hell and spend eternity in hell. Because the Bible teaches that hell is eternal. Jesus talked about the fire which never shall be quenched. In Revelation, it talks about the lake of fire. It says that the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. So hell is not a temporary thing. It's forever. And that is the fate of anybody who is not saved. So this is why we need salvation. This is why we need to be delivered. So when we talk about salvation, what does that mean? It means to be delivered or rescued or saved from these things. So the next column I want to put right here is what are we being saved from, or what is salvation itself? All right, so salvation. All right, so first, I'm just kind of moving along with this little, the columns and rows kind of format. So we know that we have all sinned and we are under God's wrath. So when we are saved, what are we being saved from? It's actually pretty simple. We are saved from wrath. And this is a term that's actually used in the Bible. Now we'll see that all these terms are used in the scriptures. The Bible talks about three things that we are saved from. Okay, when we get saved. Why am I using the black marker? I'd use a blue one. Anyway, so the Bible says that we are saved from wrath. So going to Romans chapter 5. If anybody's following along, maybe I could just go to Romans chapter 5 if you want to read what the Bible says there. I'll be there in a second. So we're saved from wrath. So the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, in verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So the Bible tells us that we are saved from wrath in verse 9. We are saved from wrath through him, through Jesus Christ. So that's the first thing. Remember, because we are sinners, the Bible says that God is angry at us. God is angry with the wicked every day. But through Jesus Christ, we are saved or delivered from God's wrath. And what that could also be called is reconciliation. And it uses that word here in verse 10. It says, for if when we were enemies, so remember, as I pointed out earlier, the Bible also tells us that we are the enemies of God because of our sin. He is against us. He's angry at us. We are under his wrath. But through Jesus Christ, we can be reconciled back to God. Now, reconcile means to restore friendly relations. So we are not God's friends at all. We are God's enemies. But we can be reconciled back to him by being saved from his wrath. Okay, so the second thing that we're saved from is saved from sin. Because remember, we can't just stop sinning. That's impossible. There's a lot of false prophets out there that teach, well, you have to turn from your sins to be saved. Now, if we could just turn from our sins to be saved, there would be no reason for Jesus to come, and there'd be no reason for salvation. Okay, salvation, you have to be delivered from these things, but just turning from your sins can't deliver you from any of these things. That's why we need Jesus. So, part of salvation is also being saved from sin. And this phrase is used in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, where the angel appears to Joseph and he's speaking to him about the birth of Jesus. And he says, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then another verse that the Bible has is 1 Timothy 1:15, where it says, "Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So there's this, and then so the question is, then, well, what is being saved from sin exactly? You know, we have a sin nature, and of course, because of our flesh, we're always going to sin. It says in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So that's saved Christians. He's speaking to them. He's saying, even us as Christians, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So obviously we can't stop sinning in the flesh. But Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." So Jesus says here in John chapter 8 that we are servants of sin because we commit sin. So we know that we have sinned in the past, but we will always continue to sin because of our flesh. So therefore, the Bible says that we are the servants of sin. But Jesus says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So Jesus promises that through the truth you can be delivered or made free. Redeemed is a word to use, from that captivity, from that bondage to sin. So the question is then, well, again, how does that happen? How are we redeemed? How are we made free? Now the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." And then it says something very similar in Colossians 1:14 as well, where it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So the Bible teaches that we are not just saved from God's wrath, but we are saved from sins itself. We can be redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. So here we have two R's. We have reconciliation, and we have redemption. So being saved from wrath would be reconciled back to God. We're no longer God's enemies. We're no longer under his wrath. But through salvation, we can be made not his enemies anymore. We can not be under his wrath anymore. And then there's also being saved from sin. We're redeemed. We were the servants of sin, but now we can be made free from sin. It talks about that in Romans chapter 6, and I'll read a little bit from that later. But the Bible tells us of those who are saved, it says, "You were the servants of sin," but it says that now you're, I'm sorry, I completely butchered that. Just got to turn there. It says in Romans chapter 6, "Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." So we can be made free from sin. We can be saved from that as well. So Jesus did not just come to save us from God's wrath, but also to save us from sin itself. But then the last thing is, God came to save us from hell, to save us from eternal damnation, to save us from that spiritual death. Now it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, "Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." So the Bible tells us that God delivers us from so great a death, and I believe that that is referring to hell, because it says even in the verse before that, I probably should have read that, but it says in verse 9, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead." So the sentence of death would be what we deserve because we are sinners. Because we have sinned and we will always continue to sin, we deserve to die physically and also to die spiritually and go to hell. But God delivered us from so great a death so that we don't have to go to hell. And the Bible says also in Revelation chapter 2, verse 11, Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." And remember, the second death in Revelation 21, verse 8, is the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. So, if we overcome, which is through faith, according to 1 John 5, verses 4 to 5, that those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God have overcome the world, If we believe on Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that we shall not be hurt of the second death. So we will be saved from eternal damnation and the terrible place of torment called hell. So let me write that. And just because I was going with a little bit of alliteration here with reconcile and redemption, you could also call this part being rescued. You're rescued from hell. So this is what salvation is. And these are the three things that the Bible tells us that we're saved from. We're saved from God's wrath, we're saved from sin, and we're saved from hell, or saved from so great a death. We are reconciled, we were redeemed, and we were rescued from hell. So that is what we mean when we say salvation. If you want to, if you don't understand what the word saved or salvation means, that is what it means, to be delivered from these three things. It's all kind of like a package, okay? Now the question is then, next, is how does God save us? Now this is not how do we get saved. Like I said at the beginning of the video, that's not really what this video is about. In order to be saved, all we have to do is believe in Jesus. But once we believe in Jesus, what does God do to save us from wrath, to save us from our sin, and to save us from hell? So that's the next part. How does God save us? How does God save us? Okay. Kind of a messy chart, but whatever. Hopefully, those who are watching the video are enjoying it here. Let's see who I got. LJZ, I don't know who that is. But anyway, so the next part. How does God save us? So, how does God save us from wrath? And he does so through, and these are the next three here are all Bible words. Again, through justification. So we are saved from wrath through being justified. 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 So we are saved from wrath through justification. And I wrote the S backwards, but it doesn't matter. Anyway. So it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. So remember, the problem is that we have all sinned. Okay, that's a fact. We are all guilty already just because we've lived in this world and we've broken God's commandments. And that's everybody. But we can be saved from God's wrath. So how does God save us from his wrath? By justifying us. Justification begins with the forgiveness of sins. So, as the Bible says, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Once you believe, your sins are forgiven. So, this is X'd out. This is crossed out. Every sin that you've committed is forgiven. It's under the blood. The Bible says also in Romans 5:9, which I read a bit earlier, going back there, this is the same verse where it says that we are saved from wrath. It says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So how are we saved from wrath? By being justified. By being made or declared as just or righteous in the sight of God. Because we're not. But we're sinners. Okay. But through justification, we can be declared as right or just in the sight of God through the forgiveness of sins and the imputation of righteousness. And therefore saved from God's wrath. God's not going to be angry at us anymore if he doesn't see any sin. It's really that simple. The only reason why we're under God's wrath in the first place is because we have sinned. But if he forgives our sins and makes us righteous, then we're no longer sinners in his sight, so we're saved from his wrath and we're reconciled back to him. So that's the first part of salvation. Now the Bible also says in Romans chapter 3, this talks about the imputation of righteousness as well. that not only are our past sins forgiven, but God makes us righteous by placing the righteousness of Jesus Christ himself upon us. It says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe." So the Bible says that we are justified by the righteousness of God himself, and it's by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. So if you've believed in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that his own righteousness is given unto you and placed upon you. The Bible also says in Philippians 3:9, "Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." So by faith, the Bible says that you don't have your own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God. God's own righteousness is placed upon us. So once we believe, we are justified. Another verse, another great verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "He hath made unto be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." See, when Jesus Christ was on the cross, he took all of our sins upon himself. The Bible says that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. It says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." It says in Isaiah 53 that the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So every sin you've ever committed, every sin I've ever committed, was placed on Jesus on the cross, and he died for our sins. Why? According to 2 Corinthians 5:21, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we are made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ, because Jesus already took all of our sins away, and if we just believe in him, our sins are forgiven, and God's righteousness is placed upon us. So that is how we are saved from wrath. Second would be regeneration. That's how we're saved from sin. See, the Bible doesn't just teach that our sins are forgiven, but it also teaches that we are regenerated, or a more common way to say it would be to be born again. So, how does God save us from our sin? Well, we are regenerated. We are born again. Now, it says in John chapter 3, and this is, again, another key component. All these things are very key. Yeah, you can't remove any one of these, or else there is no salvation. Salvation is all these things combined. Okay? Salvation is justification, regeneration, and the next one, which is quickening, together. If you don't have those things, then you still have one of these problems, okay? These are the problems that we have. God saves us from these things. This is how he saves us, by firstly justifying us, secondly regenerating us. So the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 3, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." So Jesus says you need to have this second birth, or being born again. Now, we were born a first time already. That is being born of the flesh. Jesus says that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So your first birth, that was when you're born of your mother. Your mother was flesh and blood. That's why you are also flesh and blood. But you must be born again. And this time Jesus says that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So don't confuse this regeneration. Regeneration has nothing to do with the flesh. Okay, regeneration has nothing to do with our bodies. Our bodies are not going to be redeemed until the rapture. And I might talk about that a little bit later, but this is the Spirit being regenerated, because that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Now, the Bible says in Titus 3:5, it says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." So, when God saves us, according to the Bible, the Holy Ghost himself washes us and regenerates us. So we are regenerated, which means to be born again through the Spirit, and that means that the result of that a new birth is a new spirit. It's not the flesh being changed, it's the spirit being changed, the spirit being born again, the spirit which is born of God. And of course, just like justification, all we have to do in order to be regenerated is just believe, because the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So the Bible says that we are born of God when we believe in his name. Okay, so there's no other requirement. It's just faith alone in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that once we believe, once we have been regenerated by the Holy Ghost and been born again, that the result of that is the new creature, or a new man. See, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So remember, we were under the bondage of sin. We were a servant of sin because we had committed sin. But through regeneration, we can be saved from sin. And I'll explain that a little bit more when I get to the last part, which is the result of our salvation. So, how does God save us? Through justification. If he justifies us, then we're no longer sinners in the sight of God, because our sins have been forgiven, we're made righteous, so we're no longer under God's wrath. Secondly, our spirit is regenerated, so that no longer is our spirit captive to sin. It's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are come new. And therefore, there is a difference in our spirit than what it was before. Lastly, how does God save us? It's through quickening. So what the word quickening means is to make alive. Because remember, the Bible says that we were already dead in our sins. Remember, Paul said, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. So he says that he was already dead when he had sinned. Now it says also in the Bible in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened," which means again to make alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." So we were dead in our sins because of the fact that we have already sinned. But we can be saved from hell and saved from death by being quickened, by being made alive. The Bible says also in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." So, because our sins were forgiven, he also makes us alive, because we're not sinners anymore. Our sins have been forgiven. Our sins have been forgotten, remitted. We are justified, and our spirit has been regenerated, and therefore, there is no consequence for those sins anymore. So God also takes our soul, which was dead, and makes it alive again. He gives life to it. That's, again, quickening, or given everlasting life. See, it's not just temporary life that he quickens it with, but it's eternal life. As Jesus said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 5:24 also, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." So before we were dead in our sins, but through quickening, we are passed from death to life. And it's not just temporary life, it is eternal life, everlasting life. And that eternal life is not something we get in the future, it's something we have right now. Because it says in that verse, first of all, that we have everlasting life, that's present tense. But also John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." So the moment we believe, not only are all of our sins forgiven and we are made righteous through the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, our spirit is regenerated, it's born again, but then also our dead soul is made alive. It's quickened with everlasting life. So the Bible says that that's a promise that God has given to us. And in Titus 1:2, it says, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." And then 1 John 2:25, "This is the promise wherewith he, or that he has promised us, even eternal life. So the Bible tells us several times that God has promised us eternal life, and once we believe, we have it. It's not something you have to work for or earn or anything like that. So this is how we are saved. These are the problems that we have. We're all sinners. We're all under God's wrath. We all have a sin nature. We're all dead in our sins. But being saved means being saved from God's wrath, being saved from sin, and being saved from hell. We're saved from wrath by being justified. Our sins are forgiven. Jesus Christ's own righteousness is placed onto us, so God doesn't see us as sinners anymore. So therefore, God's no longer angry with us. So we're saved from wrath. We're reconciled back to Him. Secondly, our spirit is regenerated, so it's made into a new creature that is created in righteousness and true holiness, as it says in Ephesians chapter 4. So therefore, it's no longer in captivity to sin, and therefore we are saved from sin. Lastly, we are quickened. Our soul, which was dead in sins and on its way to hell, is then given eternal life so that it can never die. So therefore, we are saved from eternal punishment in hell. So all these things take place through faith. This is what happens when you believe. You are justified, you're regenerated, and you're quickened. Remember, all these things the Bible says, all you have to do is believe. Acts 10:43, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And then Romans chapter 3, where it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Regeneration, again, John 1, it says, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So to be born of God, you just have to believe in his name. 1 John chapter 5 also teaches that. It says that, let me just pull that up real quick. Something along the lines of, whosoever believeth that Jesus the Christ is born of God, says, yep, whosoever believeth that Jesus the Christ is born of God, in 1 John chapter 5 verse 1. And then quickening, John 3:16, John 3:36, John 5:24, etc., John 6:47, several other verses talk about if you believe, you have everlasting life. So it's just believe, 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 and all these things God does for you. All you have to do is believe. That's your part. This is what God does once you trust Jesus as your Savior. And therefore, you are saved from wrath, saved from sin, and saved from hell, all through faith. So what is the result of our salvation? You know, what happens because we are justified, regenerated, and quickened? And why does this mean that we can never lose our salvation? See, at the beginning of the video, I made the point that people who say things like you have to do additional things besides just believe, or people say that you can lose your salvation, obviously don't understand what the word salvation means itself and how God saves us, because if they did, they wouldn't be saying foolish things like that. See, the Bible teaches that all these things take place, and therefore, we are eternally secure. So what, I'm just going to write results. Okay, so results of salvation. So if you're a saved, born-again Christian today, what does that mean for you? What does that mean for your soul? What does that mean for your spirit? Well, first of all, since we are justified, our sins are remitted and we're made righteous. It's even harder to write now because I'm trying not to erase the stuff on the other side. Sins are remitted. Man, this is difficult. Because I'm right-handed, you see. So I'm writing from right to left. So when I turn it around, you can see it. Because otherwise, it'll be backwards. But if I put my finger on these other things, it's going to erase it. So anyway, made righteous. I'm just going to put made right. Made right, so therefore we're not under God's wrath. Okay. Man, that is terrible handwriting, but whatever. Anyway, so our sins are remitted, so We're made righteous, we're not under God's wrath. Remember, again, Romans chapter 5, where it says that when we're justified by his blood, we're saved from wrath through him. And so it says, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we have been reconciled back to him. Okay, again, that word means restore friendly relations. We're no longer his enemies. We're brought back into the fellowship with God. We can be God's children. The Bible tells us that, and that's part of regeneration, that we become God's children if we believe. Colossians chapter 1 also talks about this, how we're reconciled back to God. It says in verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, so that's right here when we were still sinners before we got saved. It says, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So he has reconciled us back to him. And the Bible says the result of that is that we'll be presented holy and unblameable and unreprovable in the sight of God. The Bible also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it lists a whole bunch of sins in verse 9 and 10. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of the self of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So he says, you know, these things, if these things, those who commit these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, such were some of you, but ye are justified, sanctified, and washed. So of course we can still live in those sins in the flesh, but God has forgiven us of those sins and through justification, and therefore we are no longer under God's wrath, but we're reconciled back unto him, and we shall inherit the kingdom of God because those sins are washed away, we're sanctified, we're justified, etc. The next point is, because we are regenerated, we also have a new creature which is born of God that cannot commit sin. The Bible, I already read 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says that we're a new creature, old things have passed away, behold, all things are come new. And then Ephesians chapter 4 as well, which says of the new man, it says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, which is the key to understanding this concept of regeneration and why the fact that we are regenerated means that we have eternal life. You see, all this is connected together. But it says in 1 John 3, 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, again, as I pointed out earlier, this is not talking about the flesh, because the Bible says in John chapter 3, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So the regeneration is the regeneration of our spirit. Our spirit is made new again. That is the new creature. That is the new man. It's the inward man. It's the spirit. And that part of us cannot commit sin. I remember Jesus said that whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Okay? So he says, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. But he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 that we are made free from sin, and now we are the servants of righteousness. So because we have been regenerated, and because we were born of God, that new creature within us, it's created after righteousness and true holiness, and that part of us cannot sin. Now, it's not our bodies that go to hell. Our bodies will still sin, as it talks about in Romans chapter 7. He says, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So he says, it's my flesh that still sins, but it is no longer I that do it, meaning no longer the born-again new man, the spirit, the inward man. That part of us does not commit sin, and therefore it's no longer a servant of sin. We are made free. We are redeemed. Okay? And then finally, because we are quickened, our soul is revived, and we have everlasting life, which means simply that we can never die. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And then he says in John chapter 11, verse 25 to 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So Jesus says that if you believe in him, you have everlasting life, which means you shall never die. Because that's what everlasting means. It means it lasts forever. So, we were on our way to hell, but by being saved from hell through quickening, God makes our soul alive with everlasting life, and that means it can never die. So, this is what salvation is. Just kind of a complicated thing. You could pack all of this together in just the word being saved or salvation. This is just like a more complicated way to understand it, of how God saves us. We were sinners, right? We are always going to be sinners because of our fleshly nature. And we can't just turn from our sins. We can't just stop sinning. We can't choose to live a holy life because the carnal mind is enmity against God. And because we have sinned, we're under God's wrath and we're dead in our sins on our way to hell. But God saves us by saving us from wrath, by saving us from sin, by saving us from hell, by justifying us, regenerating us, and quickening us. And all these things take place if you just believe. If you believe, God will justify you. If you believe, God will regenerate you. You'll be born again. If you believe, God will quicken you with everlasting life. And therefore, our sins are remitted. All the sins that you've ever committed are gone, and you're made righteous with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So you're reconciled back to God. Then we are redeemed from our bondage to sin because we have a new creature within us that cannot sin and is no longer a servant of sin because it's sinless, it's perfect, it's holy. And then also our soul, because it's been quickened with everlasting life, can never die, so we'll never go to hell. So that's what salvation is. Yet there's a lot of people who don't understand this, not just because they haven't really studied the Bible, but because they're not even saved in the first place. They're trusting in their works to save them. They think that, you know, they can lose their everlasting life. Now, if you had to repent of your sins to be saved, then pretty much everything under this would be, under the first row, would be completely meaningless. Okay, because if you had to repent of your sins to be saved, that ignores the fact that we all have a sin nature, and it ignores the fact that we are regenerated so that our soul cannot sin anymore, and it also ignores the fact that the Bible just says you have to believe. Now, if you could lose your everlasting life, if you could lose your salvation, that ignores pretty much all of this as well, and it's a failure to understand what salvation is in the first place. As I pointed out at the beginning of this video, to say you can lose your salvation doesn't make any sense because salvation means deliverance. We are delivered, we are rescued from God's wrath and from our own sin, from that bondage unto sin, and from eternal damnation in hell through justification, regeneration, and quickening. Now, the people who believe that you can lose your salvation basically ignore half of justification because they believe your sins are only your past sins are forgiven. They ignore the concept of regeneration, and they ignore the concept of quickening with everlasting life. Because if you could lose it, it's not everlasting. Jesus said, again, whosoever liveth and believeth him, he shall never die. If you could lose it, then regeneration wouldn't make any sense, because the Bible tells us that our soul cannot commit sin. So if you said that, well, I can go to hell because of my sins, that ignores the fact that the Bible tells us that we have a new creature that is holy and without sin and cannot sin in 1 John 3:9 and 1 John 5:18 and several other places. And it also ignores the fact that not only are our past sins forgiven, but the Bible tells us that righteousness is imputed unto us without works in Romans 4:6. And it says we don't have our own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God in Philippians 3:9. It's the righteousness of God which is unto all and upon all them that believe. So righteousness is imputed if you believe. It's not just your past sins are forgiven. So anybody who believes you can lose your salvation doesn't understand what salvation means. That statement makes no sense. Once you believe, this is what you're delivered from. God does this. He justifies you, regenerates you, quickens you. And so, praise God, our sins are gone. When God sees us, he no longer sees sinners. We're no longer in his wrath. We can have fellowship with God. We're his children. We are regenerated. We become his child. We're born into the family of God. And the new creature is without sin. And our soul has everlasting life. I mean, I don't know. There's no better way to describe it. That's why the Bible calls it so great a salvation. Because it's amazing all that God does for us if we just believe in his son, Jesus Christ. So, that's it for this video. Thank you, everybody, for watching. I don't really have anything else to say. I'm going to be making a video also soon about the subject of how, not just what salvation is, but how we are saved, and particularly talking about the subject of repentance, because there's a lot of confusion about that word repentance. People who have a wrong definition of it, people who believe you have to turn from your sins, or people who believe you have to be sorry for your sins. And I know there's a few people like that on Instagram today who follow me, and who used to follow me or whatever. And I'm going to show you from the Bible that that is completely false, and all you have to do to be saved is just believe, and repentance just is changing your mind from trusting one thing to only trusting Jesus Christ. So thank everybody for watching, and that's it for today. God bless you, and goodbye.